Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today we're dealing with birthdays. We're going to talk about what happens when your birthday is coming up and what happens when your mother's birthday is coming up and you're no contact. But first of all, I want to thank you all for the questions and great topic requests I've received from some of you in the last couple of weeks. Keep them coming. I love how this can be a conversation rather than a monologue. And also, I want to say I appreciate your patience with me as I work to get episodes out on all the requests, as it will take me some time to address them all. So please know that I will. But yeah, thank you for your patience with that. So today's episode comes from a recent exchange I had with a wonderful woman I got to know since I started this work. She went through quite a challenging time, having to deal with her mother's birthday for the first time while being no contact, and also with her own birthday being close too. Both are moments when keeping the no contact can be very, very challenging. And if you're listening to this and you're still in contact with your mother, keep listening, as there's going to be a lot in it for you too. Like, a lot of the challenges can be similar, as birthdays are a time when it is challenging to maintain any kind of boundaries. So if your boundary is a full-on no contact, or if you just have your own boundaries in general, even within the relationship with your mother being in contact, there can still be a lot in this episode for you. And a lot of strong emotions can come to the surface. You know, it's a time where we can feel guilty, that we can feel bad, we can feel alone. A lot of that can come up even when you're still in contact with your mother. So, yeah, you can still benefit from this episode anyways. In this episode, I'm going to talk first about the case when it's your mother's birthday coming up, and then I'll talk about when it is your own birthday, as the two situations can trigger quite different, they can trigger similar emotions, but in different ways, and the challenges that they may present can be quite different. So that's how we're going to go about this. Let me ask you, to start, when your mother's birthday comes up, do you feel obliged to reach out, to organize something special, maybe if you're still in contact, to be a part of it, even if you know it will be hurtful and difficult? And if you are completely no contact, do you feel conflicted between calling or not? Maybe feeling guilty and a bad person if you don't, or afraid of the consequences of your decisions? So if you're feeling any of that, if you're saying, oh yes, that's me, I get it. I really do. I've been no contact for over 2 years now and went through two birthdays of my mother so far in this time, and two birthdays of my own as well. In my family, birthdays are considered very important. So like, it would be extremely bad not to contact a member of my family for their birthday. So that was like, for me, an added pressure. I don't know, like, I have met families where they're like, ah, yeah, whatever. They don't even remember, like, my partner's family, my husband's family, they don't even remember birthdays in his family. It's not like a big deal at all, but in my family, it's a very big deal. And also, for years of my life, I did my absolute best to get my mother the best gift possible. And this was because when I gave her the gift, if I did things right, okay, this was one of the very few moments she would pay some attention to me. You know, a time when I felt loved and validated, obviously only if I got it right. So when her first birthday being no contact came up, I was very conflicted. I of course received calls from family members sort of expecting that I would. And I really didn't know how to deal with the whole situation. And in the end, I decided not to call her. I didn't have to go see her. We live in two different countries, so that kind of made it easier in a way to keep a kind of a boundary in that sense. I'm not expected to fly down all the way just for her birthday. But I sent her a message. And a card, if I remember well. So what happened next? Not only she did not respond anything, but she also went around the family saying I hadn't sent anything and unleashed flying monkeys on me, which was pretty intense. So that definitely taught me a powerful lesson. I didn't send anything the following year. And the flying monkeys still came, but less. I had set down some pretty strict boundaries in the meantime about them trying to address my relationship with my mother with me and how that was not their place. So, like, that was not as intense the second year. So, but that was a lesson. And sometimes that's helpful too. Like, you see what happens when you break the no contact, but it can be very painful at the same time. So that's why I wanted to do this episode, because there are lessons in everything that we do, of course, but if someone has gone through the pain before you, maybe just we can do something to support you. So, and also I wanted to say it does get a little bit easier. Obviously, when you're at the beginning of the no contact, it's a lot more challenging. There's everything is new, and each situation that comes up, you're called to figure out ways to deal with it that are different than before, because you can't just go and call your mother. You're not just going to do the same things that you were doing when you were in contact. You're not going to be invited to her birthday party. Or if you are, you're going to have to say no. So, like, there's a lot of things that come up. So what are the main challenges that come up around the time of your mother's birthday when you're no contact? And, of course, you're going to have your own personal experience of this. So I'm going to name a few and the main ones, but there's going to be a lot of different shades to this, a lot of different personal experiences to this. So obviously you can add your own to this. So the first thing is you might be feeling like a bad person for not calling your mother on her birthday. You might be feeling guilty for making her suffer on her birthday. If your mother was like very much the victim type mother, that has just really brought in the guilt tripping in her way of manipulating you and in your childhood to keep you around, making you responsible for her emotional state, you might feel a lot of guilt emerging at this time. Another emotion that can be triggered quite strongly is fear. You might be very fearful of the consequences, like literally afraid of what the consequences could be of you not actually reaching out on your mother's birthday, especially if your mother was or is very abusive, like outright abusive. And so this could be like fear of receiving nasty communications from your mother herself, or the flying monkeys, being afraid of what she can unleash on you within the other members of the family, of common friends or anything like that. Your siblings could become flying monkeys in that case if they're still quite enmeshed in the situation. If you were the more scapegoated maybe child in the family and there's someone else that is more like the favorite child, that sibling can turn into a flying monkey and make your life really difficult. So you could be very afraid of all of that. And rightfully so. I get that. I totally get that. Another thing that can come up is grief for not being able to celebrate a special day with your mother. Maybe like the feeling that you would love for things to be different and to be able to just, you know, wish your mother happy birthday. And the grief for not being able to do that. you might feel somewhat excluded from the rest of the family, as although it's your own choice to be no contact, or maybe it wasn't, like in some cases, like I've mentioned about myself, my no contact was not really a choice, as in it became my choice, but it started by my mother not talking to me after I set down some boundaries. Now then, when she then decided that she wanted to make contact again, I kept the no contact because I've had enough of it. But there have been people reaching out to me. Some of you reached out to me saying that it was their case. It wasn't a no contact from their own choice, but it was their mother that just withdrew her affection and stopped communicating, and then it became a no contact. So that feeling of exclusion from the family can happen. A feeling of rejection can get triggered. And this can happen also if you're the one that's making the choice. Because still, even if you've made that decision, you're still observing the rest of the family possibly getting together. You know that they are. And this can still trigger that feeling of rejection, that feeling of not being understood by the rest of the family. You're the only one seeing your mother for what it is, and the rest is not. And they might call you crazy, they might say that you're the one with issues, and this can get pretty intense. Also, another thing that can come up is the fear of judgment of others, not just family members, but like people in general. Even the people that you call friends, like what will people think of you if you don't contact your own mother for her birthday? It's frowned upon, especially by people that either have not experienced what you've been through as a child with a narcissistic mother, or they may have a mother with narcissistic behavior, but they might not want to admit that. And so they get very judgmental of others because they really would like to do the same, but it's hard and they haven't admitted it to themselves, and so judgment comes up. So this can come together with a lot of loneliness, as you might feel you can't speak about this with anyone. Even the people that are usually your friends can't actually get what you're going through, and this can be a very lonely place to be. So all of this can get truly intense, and I get it. And as I mentioned, all of the above can still be kind of triggered if you're still in contact in slightly different ways. And maybe you're trying to set boundaries, meaning you don't feel like getting stuck doing your mother's bidding just because it's her birthday. So actually, I'm thinking here on the spot, but I'm thinking of doing an episode on birthdays, more specific to those still in contact. So share with me your experience of that. What are your main challenges when your mother's birthday comes up? And let me know if an episode on this would be useful to you. I appreciate that, as it helps me serving you best. So you can reach out, send me an email. As you know, the email is at the end in the description of every episode, so you can reach out and let me know what your experience is. So getting back to being no contact around your mother's birthday, a lot of emotions get stirred, patterns get triggered, and we run the risk to fall back in the loop by breaking the no contact. Okay, that's the main risk. And I also know from some of you who have shared this with me that things can seem to get even more complicated when there are grandchildren involved, who might still be in contact with their grandmother despite your own choices, and who may also be used to manipulate you by her, or you may fear your own kids won't understand you and maybe even suffer because of the situation. So when there's grandchildren into the pot, that can make things a little bit more complicated, or it may seem to make them more complicated. So I really get how all of this can be extremely painful and intense to go through. So how can you protect yourself from all this? How can you navigate this emotional storm and come out the far side in one piece? Let's go through that now. So first of all, very important thing, remember why you went no contact. Okay, this is key. The pain you're feeling now in the midst of all the conflicting emotions about your mother's birthday is likely nothing compared to the hurt she has caused you that made you decide to get no contact. Reflecting and reminding yourself why you made such choice is important in keeping the no contact through challenging times. So at moments where emotionally you feel vulnerable and you feel inclined to get sucked in again, remember, like literally, you can write down a list of the reasons. Why? What was the thing that made you decide that? Or were there multiple things? And, you know, just go back on that and feel into that to strengthen that resolve. Second point, if you haven't yet, you can listen to episode 25, which is No Contact with a Narcissistic Mother, the challenges and how to do it, and episode 19, the key to successful no contact during the holiday season. So holidays and birthdays can trigger similar emotions, so and they can be challenging in similar ways. So if you have listened already, maybe go through them again at the time of your birthday. Those two episodes are also, there's a lot in them to support you maintaining the no contact and how to go through with it. So you, on top of this episode, you can listen to those as well. And number three, feel the emotions that are there. And remember that it is okay to feel how you feel, but that you do not have to act from there. Okay, the story that comes up alongside these emotions is not your story. It's the result of your experiences growing up. Like guilt comes from all the guilt tripping you were put through. The feeling of being a bad person comes from your mother making you feel like that growing up with all her put downs and manipulations. And society telling you that you have to be a good daughter no matter what reinforced it. Okay, that doesn't help either. The fear you might be feeling comes from all the threats maybe and punishments from the rejection and withholding of affection from your mother in the years growing up. The grief that you're feeling, it's okay to feel grief. It's quite natural to feel grief when you haven't received the love and nourishment from your mother, the love and nourishment that you deserve. Okay, so but remember that to feel it is to heal it. It's important. If it's there and it's felt, that's a good thing because you're healing it as you're feeling it. But none of these places are a good place to make a decision from. Okay? Making a decision out of fear, out of guilt, out of the grief that you're feeling, it's not a good place. So double up your practice. Use tools of self-regulation. Get support so you can get to a place where you can see things more clearly when you're feeling a little bit better, and that's a better place to make a decision from. Number four, keep your boundaries, not only with your mother, the boundaries that you set around yourself with your mother. Like, for example, if you've blocked her from your phone or if you don't allow her to visit or things like that, just keep your boundaries. But also keep your boundaries with the flying monkeys, okay? Because those are the ones that she'll unleash. If she knows you've decided to go no contact, it's unlikely that for her own birthday she will try and reach out. She may be, but like it's unlikely because she doesn't like rejection either. So she's more likely to be sending flying monkeys your way. So you can say things like, especially if it's a person, like if it's a member of the family that you don't want to cut relationship with, you know, that you feel like you want to answer, but you want to answer in a way that just stops that person from insisting. So you can say things like, I hear you, but I won't discuss my relationship with my mother with you. That's it, full stop, end of negotiations there. Or, I understand how you feel, but surely you could say it more respectfully with nicer words. That's if they're getting very abusive. That's gonna like really shock them because they're not expecting you to be that strong and grounded in yourself. Or you can say, you're allowed to feel that way, but no, I won't call my mother. You're allowed to say no. You are so allowed to say no. And you're allowed to block people who get abusive and who don't respect your boundaries also. You're allowed to not respond to calls and messages from these people if they refuse to respect your boundaries. That's very important, you know? Give yourself that permission. Five, support. Share your experience with someone that gets it. Find the right support. You don't have to do this alone. Having like what I'm witnessing in the women's circle, the connection and how each woman, like everyone has each other's back. It's absolutely amazing to witness. And that support, if I've had that support years ago, I wouldn't have gone through half the amount of challenges and pain. Or maybe yes, I would have faced the same challenges, but not with that amount of pain. I would have had someone there. So I really invite you, if it's not with the women's circle I offer, that's fine. If you find some other place where you can feel that support, I really, the invitation is strong here, because each of these challenges feels a lot harder when you're on your own facing it. And one of the biggest pain of daughters of narcissistic mothers is the level of perceived loneliness, because not many people understand what it is to go through that pain. And not many people are open to really speak about challenges with their own mothers, so they'll find it hard to resonate with you. You'll speak about your own experience, which is fine, you can totally do that, but you're not going to be received and you're not going to feel seen and understood unless you are within a container where you know people really get what's going on in your life. So as the last point, I want to address the matter of the grandchildren. So you're allowed to make your own choices in this. That's like the main point, okay? You are allowed to make your own choices. Feel into the situation and decide what happens with your children and their grandmother, whether they get to see her or not for her birthday, whether that's a good thing for them or not. If you feel that the kids are also getting abused by your mother, you know, you can choose to keep them away from her. I know in my own case, the decision was very simple. My mother was very abusive to them too, so it's like that's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna let my kids being put through that. But that might not be your case. So again, you are also allowed to give them the space to have their own experiences and to decide for themselves. Of course, it depends on your personal situation and the specific behavior of your mother. It depends on the age of your kids. There's a lot there, so you can get creative, so you can keep your boundaries maybe while also considering your children's choices. I can't be more specific than that, because that's a very, very personal situation. There isn't really a rule that fits all here. I would have to know your own personal situation and be working with you one on one to address this like a little bit more specifically. But the one thing that I want you to remember is that you are allowed to feel into the situation and get creative and make your own choices, as you are, you're allowed to do that. That's important, because there's a lot of what I'm hearing when there's children involved, there's a lot of feeling like you're a bad mother, that you're putting them through stuff, that they should be allowed to see their grandmothers, and a lot of that. And so you're allowed to feel into it and decide each time what's best. And this is it for the topic of your mother's birthday. So if you have any questions, any reflections on this, you want to share your experience with me on this, drop me an email. If there's something that I haven't addressed in this and you would like to hear, or you would like clarity, let me know. So now we're going to talk about your own birthday coming up while you're no contact. Okay, because this can present a whole lot of different challenges, stirring up emotions that can for sure feel intense and even very conflicting at times. And again, feeling into it, I will also address this in another episode for those who are in contact. So you're welcome to share your experience with me via email. What happens when your birthday is coming up? What happens with your mother? How is she showing up? What are the main challenges that you are feeling, that you are facing at that time? So, but for now, let's have a look at what are the main challenges when you're no contact and your birthday is coming up. So the first thing that comes up is expectations, okay? Even though you are no contact, there might still be a part of you that hopes for your mother to be different and to send you love on this day. Sometimes it's even hard to admit we're feeling this way. You mightn't even be fully aware that you're feeling this way. And if you are, it's okay to feel like that. It's important to understand that. There's nothing wrong in desiring things to be different. But the advice is not to act from this place, as it may cause you to break the no contact, following false hope and expectations, and get hurt when you realize your mother is still behaving the exact same way. The next thing is fear. Fear of what's coming, okay? This may be the fear at your knowing that your mother will use your birthday as an excuse to attempt to break the no contact. This could happen by sending you a card, or maybe she could try and call you, or she could go on and try a full-on surprise visit. Like she can feel a little bit powerful with the fact that it's your birthday and there's like this entitlement that being your mother, she's meant to be there, even if you've made it very, very clear with your no contact stance that that's not the case. But as you well know, narcissists and boundaries, they don't really get on, so she might not respect that boundary. And you could be really worried and afraid of what's that going to be like. And you also know from experience that any way she's going to make contact with you, it's either going to be very abusive, maybe with a lot of passive-aggressive behavior, or a masterpiece of guilt-tripping and love-bombing to get you back. So instead of looking forward to your birthday, you might end up dreading it as a result of this fear. Another thing that can come up is feeling bad and guilty if she indeed reaches out to you with a card or a call or a gift, and you do not respond. And this can happen even if the way she's reached out is really not nice. There still can be that trigger. But she did, you know, she made the effort. You know, it didn't come. Maybe she didn't mean it like that. You know, that false hope can still be there. That inner child that craves a mother that is loving and nourishing and validating, can sort of try and justify, and so the pattern of feeling guilty and a bad person can come up. Flying monkeys, of course, she might not send you a card, or she might not ring you, but she might send flying monkeys, kind of, you know, making you feel bad for excluding your mother on your birthday, and aiming to make you break the no contact. 5, what can come up can be also grief. Grief for not being able to share your birthday with your mother, you know, the very woman who gave birth to you. And in an ideal world, this woman should be beside you for your birthday. You might feel like that. And so a lot of grief can come up. And this might not be something that will make you try and break the no contact, perhaps, but it might be feeling very, very intense. Another thing is comparison with other women, you know, who you might see their mothers going all out to celebrate their birthdays, and you're observing that from the outside, and that can feel very painful. It can make your situation seem like the worst, and it can make you feel very, very alone. And again, with that, some social pressure of what will people think, you know, you're not inviting your mother to your birthday, or questions like, oh, what did your mother get you for your birthday? Nothing, because we're not talking to each other. That can be pretty intense to deal with. Okay, so how do we deal with all this? Once again, remember the reason why you went no contact in the first place. That's the first key point in both cases. Go back, remember why you decided to go no contact. Yes, maybe it's painful and there's a lot of emotions in your approaching birthday and not knowing what to do and not having your mother there, and that's understandable. But the amount of hurt that you experienced when you were in contact with your mother that made you decide to go no contact, that's gonna still happen, you know. So it's really important to remember the reasons why you went no contact. Number two, really important, you are allowed to enjoy your, you're allowed to enjoy your birthday without your mother. You're allowed. This does not make you a bad person, but someone rightfully protecting her heart. I really want you to hear this. You're allowed to enjoy your birthday without your mother. You're not a bad person for that. You're protecting your heart. And there's no need to follow the story of guilt. If your mother is not involved in your birthday today, it's not your fault, but the result of her own choices and actions. That list that we talked about a second ago of the reasons why you went no contact. Those are her choices and her actions, and that's why today she's not there for your birthday. So it's not your fault. It has all to do with her and her own behavior. With that said, it's okay if you do feel guilt. You're not broken or wrong for feeling it. And if it's there to be felt, there is no point in avoiding it. There's healing in feeling what's there. The invitation is to do your best not to attach any story to it, meaning not to dwell in the feeling and the spiraling story that can start going like, oh, it's so hard for me, and why me, and my mom is so cruel, and blah blah. That does not help you. It's not helpful. And remember that you do deserve joy and happiness, and not just on your birthday. Actually, you do deserve joy and happiness in your life in general, but also on your birthday. Number three, handle the flying monkeys in the same way as mentioned before. Your relationship with your mother is nobody else's business. They either accept that or get lost. They're not welcome to your birthdays either, if they're only coming to make you feel bad about not having your mother there. And you're totally allowed to have those boundaries in place, even with them. No matter who they are, if they're siblings, if they're aunts and uncles, doesn't matter who they are. They have no right to tell you how to live your relationship with your mother. Number four, comparing with others is an old pattern and a very unhelpful one at that. This pattern happens because of your mother comparing you with others when you were younger, growing up, for you never meeting the standards that she wanted you to meet, for her having a set of values that were the only one important and not allowing you to be yourself, and so using comparison to tell you how you had to be. Okay, so this is the pattern. That's where it started. That's not a real thing. You are not a person that just needs to feel compared with others all the time, but it's the pattern that started in your childhood. And also, you can't know what goes on in the life of others behind closed doors. You don't know what compromises those people have made to have their mothers there. You don't know what internal suffering goes on, even when apparently on the outside everything seems really, really great. So remember that when you're observing situations. And if you do witness someone truly happy with their mother, which, I mean, there are people like that out there. There are also mothers that are really nice. The invitation is to allow yourself to feel the grief that may be there for you. I mean, it's okay to feel the grief. You can feel happy for someone being happy and feel the grief that's there for you at the same time. Again, without following the story, the important thing is not to fall into the trap of going, oh, how bad it is for me, and how terrible everything is for me, and how hard, and look at them being so happy and me being so miserable. That's where the comparison, it's gonna really set in as a pattern and hurt you, and it's not helpful. So feel what's there. Feel the happiness for that person. Feel the grief that's there for you. Shed tears if there are, breathe through it. There are ways to allow intense emotions to be there, move them through. It is a practice. It's not something that we actually just know how to do, because definitely our mother did not show us how to deal with intense emotions in a healthy way. She, being a narcissist, she was not and is not emotionally as skilled and intelligent. So we haven't learned, and no one taught us. And so this is something that we really work in both the women's circles and in the one-on-one program. Like how to feel what's there and not get sucked into it, and actually being able to use those moments of intense emotions as a path to healing and opening up to actually receiving more joy and get even more grounded as a result of it. So we're turning those intense emotions that feel so challenging and uncomfortable into a superpower. But that's a practice. Number five, remember that any good thing she may do, because she could do that, like truly sending you a nice gift or a card that seems like really nice, surprisingly nice, it's likely manipulation to get you back in the loop. Unless, in the meantime, she did some major healing and inner work of her own. I mean, hanging on to that hope is not really helpful, but I never want to say that that's impossible either, because I don't believe in anything being impossible. And how can you know if she's done some real meaningful inner work and healing for herself? Well, because she would sincerely apologize without trying to justify her past behavior, which is something that I bet you've never heard your mother do. Certainly I haven't. And she would also take complete responsibility for her own behavior. Another thing I bet your mother never did. Mine certainly has never done that. Ever in my 39 years on this planet, she has never taken responsibility for any of her choices and decisions, and never really truly apologized in a way that wasn't like some kind of manipulative sort of way of getting me back in to cause more pain. So you would know. You would definitely know. And that's very, very, unfortunately, very, very unlikely. Because when they're caught in that narcissistic pattern and they haven't had the tools to deal with it, really, like, it's quite a stretch to get through that amount of change. So again, hanging to that hope is not going to be helpful. If it happens, well, that's a blessing, amazing. Be very happy about it, but like, don't leave hoping that. Remember that acceptance of what your mother is, it's a really important part of the healing journey. Number six, keep your boundaries. Not just the ones with the flying monkeys, but the ones that you set around yourself. Because, you know, if you've listened to the episodes I've done before on no contact, on ongoing no contact and on boundaries, that boundaries are the boundaries that you set around yourself. So you can't set boundaries around your mother. You can't tell her not to call you, because she will still call you. You can't tell her not to behave a certain way, because she will still behave that way. But you can set boundaries about what you're going to do when she behaves that way, or what you're going to do if she tries to call you and you're no contact. You're not going to answer. That's your boundary. Doesn't matter what she does. She can send you cards. She can call you. She can even show up at your door. Your boundary is you're not going to open that door. You're not going to answer that call. You're not even going to open the card. I've had letters from my mother and letters from flying monkeys that went from the mailbox right into the fire without being opened. Because from experience, I know what happens when I open them. The amount of suffering, the amount of abuse that it's in those letters, and the amount of suffering that I have to go through afterwards as a result of that is not worth it. So the boundaries that you set around yourselves are really important. And if your mother can still reach you and contact you, consider blocking her from your phone or emails. I know that this can feel really, really intense and like a real big statement. Like, what if she really needed you? I'm sure she has a lot of other people around her that she can contact if she really needs. And you know very well that any time that she has tried to contact you has been to make you feel bad in some way. So that's, I can't tell you to do that. I'm never going to tell you what to do, but definitely it's an invitation. It makes things a lot easier to have her blocked so that she can't actually reach you. And again, the last point, even in this case, is get support. Because loneliness can spike at times like your birthday, and having a support network that has your back is important. It's going to make things a lot less intense. A lot less intense. You're still going to feel those emotions. Imagine how it would be to actually be able to speak to all of this with a bunch of people, with a bunch of women that are there and they're really there. I know it sounds like nearly like a fantasy land. It did for me for a long time. That some the other women could actually really listen and really see me and really understand where I was coming from. But it does happen within this circle. That is exactly what happens. And it's absolutely incredible, the level of support and how the transformation that I'm seeing happening, it's astounding. So get support, find a place where you can get support. And if you want to know more about the women's circles that we provide, the Reclaim Your Fullness Women's Circles, there is a link in the description of this video, of this episode, and you can check those out, or you can reach out to me via email and ask me whatever questions you might have. The one-on-one program at the moment, the intake is actually closed, so I'm gonna open them again at the beginning of April. But in the meantime, if you're interested, you can still reach out and you will be on the waiting list. Because as you know, I do only take on about 4 women at intake. So if you want to be on the waiting list for that, you can reach out to me and let me know. And with that, I'm going to leave you and send you lots of love. Bye for now.